Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Sunday morning services. It is such a delight to be with you this morning. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my joy and pleasure to serve this giving, generous, and kind congregation. I am delighted to be here on this beautiful, sunny day. And I want to know that each one of you is absolutely welcome here whenever and however you're watching this service. If you are happy with the sun and with this day, you are so welcome here. If you're feeling really tired, it's hard to even say that you're doing fine with the endless days of the pandemic. And knowing that there's endless more, you're so welcome here too. Whoever you are, however you are, whoever you love, wherever you come from, you are welcome here.
Pledged. So we're off to a great start, but as you're going through your email to find your letter, please remember that through it all, woof.
I always find Tracy Love Silver's presentation such a delight, and I always feel like, that's it. We don't really have to have the rest of the service. That was amazing. But here we are. We're going to anyway. I just want to remind you that after the service, we have coffee hour. The link was in your order of service. If you've happened onto this service and you don't have a link to coffee hour, you can go to our website and ask our administrator, Pat Lycan, to get on our email list so that you can go to coffee hour in the future. Coffee hour is when we do joys and sorrows and we get to talk to each other and see each other and connect. And it said in that video that the stewardship information session was on February 28th at 4 p.m. I want to make that really clear that that's today. February 28th at 4 p.m. is today. So check your email. And I just want to say that filling out your pledge form online is like some kind of miracle. You don't have to remember that little piece of paper and find it and return it and all of those things. It was the easiest pledging I've ever done in my life. So I will start us into the formal part of our service with our chalice lighting. Which is a little more awkward these days because of my still broken wrist. But here's our chalice. We come together every week, bound not by a creed or a mutual desire to please one God or many gods. We are drawn together instead by a belief that how we are in this world, who we are together, matters. We light this chalice together in the knowledge that love, not fear, can change the world. Let's say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. We will now sing Spirit of Life, and I ask you to stand in your homes or sit in your homes and sing along. This is our prayer to the world. And this is our time for our meditation and prayer or reflection. Dear Spirit of Love and Life, while the sun is shining today, it is still the bleak of winter. The days are short and they are often cold, and we are often tired. We have been fine so long, good so long. We've waited so long. We feel, let me put this brazenly, jerked around. The sun is out one day, and then the rain drives hard against the windows where there is ice. And our president, well, it isn't going quite as quickly or as well as some of us had hoped. COVID rates have been falling, and then, well, they aren't. And how much longer must we socially isolate? No, please don't answer that question. Vaccines have come, and some of us are wonderfully vaccinated at least once or have appointments. And many others have spent hours frustrated in front of computers, wondering how others found appointments. It wasn't ever going to be fair, but it matters so much. O Spirit of love and life, help us to breathe through these days, to feel grateful for some small joy like this sun, and just remind us of the sweetness of living. Help us to be happy for those who get vaccinated and not too envious or suspicious. Help us to be patient for our own appointments and remember always that millions of others wait with us. Help us to know this won't be forever. This will pass. This too shall pass. Amen.
Community is, first of all, a quality of the heart. It grows from the spiritual knowledge that we are alive, not for ourselves, but for one another. Community is the fruit of our capacity to make the interests of others more important than our own. The question, therefore, is not how can we make community, but how can we develop and nurture giving hearts.
Ego todum omnia in What should young people do with their lives today? Many things, obviously. But the most daring thing is to create stable communities in which the terrible disease of loneliness can be cured. Kurt Vonnegut.
I come before you this morning grateful. I am absolutely grateful for this congregation. I'm absolutely grateful for West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I get teary a lot these days. It really doesn't take much for me. It's this long isolation, the separation from so many things that bring me the most joy. The grief, week in and week out, of the losses, some big and some small. My broken wrist. All of it has made me really raw. I feel sensitive to life's every flutter. My cat's nose touching mine, and I'm teary. The New York Times front page covered in tiny dots, each one representing a COVID death. Looking up at my on my walks at those trees, so tall, so magnificent, so old. The urgency of my daughter's teacher's voice on Zoom, trying to get all those unsupervised kids to get their homework in. My son's voices on the phone when I haven't heard from them in a couple of weeks. Someone I know getting a vaccine. Every time I smile, I get a flutter in my heart. People I know trying over and over to get an appointment. The repeated advice that vaccines should not change your lives. Or maybe just a little. I knock on the door and one of you is standing there in three dimensions, even though there's a mask on, with food that I am unable to prepare myself because I do not have a working right wrist and I can't chop anything. An email that I received from a member of this congregation in gratitude for all the help that he received when he was having his own medical crisis. I am often teary, and so often those tears are tears of gratitude. A year ago, minus 1 week, I was installed as your permanent minister. And it was one of the greatest joys and proudest moments of my life. You chose me. And while I had been absolutely confident in my choice of you, in the weeks that followed, I was even more certain. For just days later, I sat in a really difficult and emotional meeting of Wolf leaders deciding it was no longer safe for us to meet in person. And so we just sat there and figured out what to do. We divided up the labor of having Sunday services online and moving church functions virtual. A team of people decided to figure out what to do about the financial ramifications. Almost no one in this congregation knew how to use Zoom. It's just a handful of people. But nearly 2 weeks later, everybody did. A group of us said we should call everyone and make sure everyone is okay. And so we did. We called everybody. We gathered in community circles to check in with each other every week. Since in that first startling isolation that struck just so suddenly, No one really knew what our lives would look like, or if people's livelihoods would be okay, or if they'd be able to get groceries, or really anything. It was so important that we stick together and look out for one another, and we did. We know what our lives look like now. Things have settled. People have routines. The economy has come and filled in many parts of our lives. We found social networks. We are pros now at Zoom, virtual services. But we keep holding each other up as life goes on. In coffee hour last week, our beloved pianist Betsy shared during joys and sorrows the loss of her own beloved. It was the kind of news where you just need and want to reach out and hold her in your arms to let her know that she is not alone. But we could not do that. We were all just boxes on a screen. But we reached out as best we could and hoped that it mattered. Later, Taya shared that her daughter, Liriel, who was just a babe in arms when COVID locked us down, now could walk across the room. And then she turned the camera to Liriel, who was sitting at the table. Liriel waved and smiled at us, and we all waved and smiled back and talked in those high voices that people do when they talk to babies and toddlers. Life and death keep on happening, and we keep holding them the very best that we can. Paul Soucy, our guest speaker that day, was with us in coffee hour. He had visited our congregation in the past and said it was so good to see us strong and holding together in these difficult times. And I am so grateful that I belong to you and that we all belong to each other. This month, our theme is Beloved Community. And today is the kickoff of our stewardship drive when we ask people to make pledges for the next year to support the continued flourishing of WOOF. This is an important time to talk about our beloved community and why it matters. Why does it matter that there are faith communities in the world, fellowships, churches, synagogues, mosques, sanghas, any group of people gathered in service to a higher power or a higher purpose? Why does WOOF matter? All faith communities pull people out of themselves and their own concerns and ask them to serve a larger power or a larger purpose. They ask people to commit to this power or purpose and transform in its service. And what is that for Unitarian Universalists? It's us, of course. We argue about it. And we rewrite our principles every generation. We rewrote them in 1980, and people are grumbling we need to rewrite them now. And we do this because we learn and we grow and we change. We see. But what never changes, I believe, is our commitment to the larger love that holds humans and natural communities together. And the real world manifestation of that is beloved community. People gather in faith communities partially, I believe, in order to learn how to be in beloved community, which then extends, when that all goes well, into the larger world. Community is first of all a quality of the heart, says the Catholic writer and theologian Henri Nouwen in today's reading. It grows from the spiritual knowledge that we are alive not for ourselves, but for one another. Community is the fruit of our capacity to make the interests of others more important than our own. The question, therefore, is not how can we make community, but how can we develop and nurture giving hearts? How can we develop and nurture giving hearts? This is our work as a congregation, to develop and nurture giving hearts. First for ourselves, then for each other, for the stranger, for the earth, and the mystery that holds us all together. Sometimes when we think of the work of the heart, the first images that come are something like Valentine's Day or Hallmark, the sweetest of the sweet, our partners or our best friends, and children, when they're the best, obviously. Maybe we think of easy attraction or like minds or good company, or people at least we can tolerate well enough. The problem is, when we think of community as people we like and get along with, who think like us, and when we think of love as something we give to those that we like at least well enough, we have framed the world into the good and the bad. Those we get along with and those we don't. We can easily come to believe it would all work out much better if everyone was just like us. And really, obviously, it would. However, Andre Noen, who spent his life living in monasteries, which would give you a lot of experience in community, obviously, also reminds us that community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Faith communities, by the requirement that we do things together, craft Sunday services, take care of the building, gather small groups for growth and friendship, come together to sing, like that beautiful piece this morning. I don't know if you realize that was our choir who was singing it. I wasn't sure that it said that, but that was our choir who made that beautiful music. And our choir director who put those pieces of those visual pieces together on front of it. Educate our children, care for each other, act in the world, create the circumstances that show our differences. And when we experience our differences, if we are committed to love and beloved community, we actually have to do the work of developing and nurturing giving hearts. It's utterly required by the task. And it's not the easiest thing for your average Tuesday. How do I listen to understand when I do not understand? How am I respectful and caring when it seems that the other person is not respectful and caring? How do I honor my own needs and preferences and someone else's, especially when theirs is completely ridiculous? What else does love require for myself and the other? This is one reason we gather in small groups like Chalice Lighters, to develop the skills of listening and understanding so that we can move those into the actual lived experience of doing things together that are hard, and then move those in our own community, and then move those into the world where people will be actually even more different than the people in our community. It has been a hard year for everyone. Some of us have been pulled much closer to Wolf. Others have moved further away because this electronic way of being together just doesn't work. And some of us have bumped into each other, not in explosive ways, fortunately, at least not that I know of, or even stormy ones, but misunderstandings, not seeing things the same way, this sort of thing that happens when you put people together, and happens even more when you put people together under stress. And I have seen people work at developing and nurturing giving hearts, at finding ways through impasses, at listening, at reaching toward instead of turning away. These are never easy moments, but ones that transform us and build our capacity to create more beloved community. It's amazing. Sometimes I think that those little places where we bump together and we have to find a way through is where real growth and ministry happens. They're almost a blessing to us, even though it feels nasty at the time. In January, I put out a call asking people to read with me the book Waking Up White, Finding Myself in the Story of Race, a book about understanding race and whiteness. It's not the lightest or easiest of conversations, one that can be uncomfortable, one that requires the growing of hearts. And I hoped 8 or 10 people would join me. Instead, 27 people signed up. I had to find 2 more facilitators. Those are people who want to grow their hearts, who are working at it. I am so grateful. You have no idea. I am so grateful for all the ways woofers are willing to develop and nurture giving hearts in personal relationships, in small groups where people learn to listen and grow and understand each other, in learning, and in the ways that we bring food to the hungry, people who are having very different experiences of life than so many of us. The Reverend Victoria Safford says of beloved community that it is an attitude, an orientation of the heart. It's a disciplined understanding of your own relationship to other people, to everyone else on the planet, to every living thing. If you are religious, this is a religious discipline. And it goes by many names. If you are seeking spiritual wholeness, spiritual balance, it is a spiritual discipline. If you are an ethical humanist, it is a deliberate moral stance. It is a daily practice, a spiritual politics that requires inclusivity, nonviolence, and the hard discipline of radical hospitality. It requires love, agape. I completely agree with her. Except I think that sometimes disciplined understanding can feel awkward and blundering, and let's face it, a lot of times it's barely functional. Woof, though, in the last year, I saw that orientation of the heart beating so steadily. You know what Woof did last year? The leadership decided, as everything was shutting down and the economy was coming to a halt and no one knew what would happen, that they would protect first and foremost their staff and our cleaning company, who is very tiny and local, and our most vulnerable renters so their businesses could survive. Those were their first priority. This was the orientation of this congregation's heart. You may say, isn't that what any UU congregation would do? Actually, it's not. Last spring and the summer, many congregations, out of fear and anxiety, immediately started letting staff go. Instead, what Woof did was we got a PPP grant, we made some budget scenarios, and looked at our reserves as a solution. We started looking at any other choices besides letting staff go and decided to see what would happen first. The commitment to people and relationships was absolutely steadfast. There was no flinching ever from anyone. I never saw it. It was a disciplined understanding of your own relationship to other people, to everyone else on the planet, to every living thing. That was not my leadership. That was Woof the core of who you are. People matter. Our community matters. Not just the membership, but the staff, the people who clean our floors and share our building, our community at large. I am so grateful for this, not only because I'm your staff, but because I am your minister, and I want to be the minister of a congregation who puts their values first, not just when it's easy, not just to say it, but when it really matters and when it's sometimes hard. Today we begin the stewardship drive at WOOF, and each of you is being asked to be one of WOOF's stewards. To be a steward is someone who cares for an organization and ensures its well-being for future generations. I ask you, as you consider your stewardship role, what it will be, to consider your gratitude. When you think of WOOF, what are you grateful for? Why does it matter that WOOF exists for people now and into the future? I feel so blessed to be here. This is a blessed place. It matters. I believe it matters to us, and I believe it matters to the world. And I believe that we are growing in heart and spirit, and that we're going to matter even more to the world, and we're going to make even more of a difference than we already do. I feel that in us. Our benediction is from Kathy Huff. Our time in this place may have ended, but our connection to each other and this community remains. Together, we walk the path of justice, speak words of love, live the selfless deed, trod gently upon the earth, and fill the world with compassion. Until we meet again, blessed be. We extinguish the light of this chalice, but not the warmth and inspiration of our faith, nor our commitment to its principles. These we will carry until we meet again.